Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LEGIONPODCAST.
And hey, in a minute, I'm going to tell you, we know what that stands for now.
I know. That's so exciting.
It only took us 9 episodes.
Exactly.
Yes. I am Murray, and this week I am an agent of Tetris. And I have to remember what that stands for because I wrote it down. Tetris is trying every way to regulate inside space. Because I was filling the gas kiln this week, or today actually, at the Potter's workshop. And like when I fill the kiln at home, it's not a big deal. I just throw the stuff in. Well, I don't throw it in because that would break. But I fit the stuff in and I don't really care too much. But at the workshop there, like every piece has to be intricately placed and you're trying to maximize space while making sure nothing's touching anything because then it'll get like glazed, glued together forever. And wow, it's like it seriously is like a Tetris puzzle because it's like
no wait, and take this out, flip it around and turn it on the side and...
Well, it would be so much easier if you could just flip some things upside down because it would give you much more space, but then
you can't,
you know, you're limited in in using that mug because it's now attached to a kiln shelf, and you know it's hard to drink and carry.
So heavy.
so heavy, and it's not holding any liquid. So anyway, I figured it all out today, sort of. Anyway, that was me, master of the Tetris puzzle.
Very nice. I today am the director of Bicycle.
Ooh.
Biking's infinitely cool. You can like exercise. So I got to do a lot of biking while we were on vacation. We had a really awesome cottage, thank goodness, because Al, for a change, it was hotter here than it was where you are, and that ain't right. So we were glad to have an air-conditioned cottage to go back to every day.
Isn't air-conditioning wonderful?
It was, and it was, like honestly, I had no idea, because Jam booked it back in January, and she says she showed me pictures, sure. I was leading up to it, I was like, so is there electricity in this thing? And she's like, yes, it's a cottage, it's not a... You know, she's like, it's like a house, and it was beautiful. Like the whole place was stunning. Like I would love to live there, and 5 minutes from the beach. So we spent hours. Like, so we would go like first thing in the morning, and like Jan and I would, for the first few days, my in-laws were there, so we could leave the kids with them and take off for a bike ride. Very nice. Awesome trails for it. And then, so we were back, and today I was like, I'm going to go up for a ride. And it's cooled off a bit since we had some rain over the weekend. Some much needed rain. Thank you for my garden. And I went for a nice long ride this afternoon, and it was perfect. So I can like exercise.
Ah, woohoo! Who knew? But yeah, no, it makes sense because I mean, you say cottage, and I kind of think of like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, you think rustic, right? And and it was anything but. I mean, it was, you know, granite countertops and you know, big island in the kitchen, completely open design, and then the bedrooms off to the side from there, and there was a basement that we never used. it had like a ping pong table and everything, but we were playing cards all the time, so we just stayed on the main floor. And because the air conditioning was such that when you went downstairs, it was like, ooh, that's chilly. and like laundry and dishwasher, the whole bit. I mean, yeah, and it was a step up for us because, you know, it was a dishwasher that actually cleans the dishes. So,
our dishwasher is getting to that phase.
Ours has always been in that phase, it seems.
Our dishwasher moved. Our dishwasher is now in London.
Ah, yes. Fancy. Well, yes, I have two other dishwashers, but I'm not sure they do such. I'm not sure they're so great either.
Well, I mean, I do have two dishwashers, and they would get everything clean-ish. Yeah. Was on there, but I don't know if you would want to eat off of it after
that. Yeah, exactly.
You do not. Well.
But I mean, I've seen the bowls when they're finished eating it at home. It's like, it looks clean.
Yes, yeah. It looks that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's fine.
But I'm not going to eat off of it.
Wow. Yeah. Gross.
You're welcome. Well, I am Al Sedano, and tonight, well, I've joined a new group, at least for just the night. My wife works from home, but she has a couple appointments on Wednesday, like doctor appointments, and she also has a lot of stuff due Wednesday, so she's going to be getting up very early, like 5:30 tomorrow, so she can get everything done as much as possible. So to make it easier, and also because the one dog would then get up and then be up, and yeah. Either she would have to walk it or I'd have to get up and walk it, I'm sleeping in the guest room, and she's sleeping in our room, each taking a dog. So I will be sleeping by myself. Mono, yawning, and sleeping, except for the large furball. Because she's getting the small furball.
There you go. Oh, that's awesome.
But that's fine. That means I get to put on what I want to watch at night.
Right?
Totally.
There's something to be said for it. Yeah, I'm with you. I actually, the first night we were back, Sarah wanted to lay down with Jan. And I was like, you know, we'd had the air conditioning off for a week, and so we got back, and it wasn't as bad as I was concerned, but you know, all the same, it was just like, yeah, she can just sleep there. I'm going to sleep in the basement.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh man, hey, but speaking of acronyms, we got an email from Steve Mahundro, man of hope, under no delusion, reached out. and he has figured out what LEGIONPODCAST stands for. It is, and I think we're all in agreement that there's no contest. This is what it is.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Licensed Extragovernmental Interstellar Operatives Network Policing Operations Discussion, Criticism, and Synopsis Talk.
That is,
my hat is
so
off, sir.
Wow. Good.
Yeah. Man of hope, we'll get under one no of delusions, our, reached out.
Yeah, totally. Oh, we'll get one of our interns to send him like a Legion hoodie.
There is no Legion hoodie.
It's okay. There's no intern either.
So I'm sure our intern will get right on it.
That's right. If there was.
But he will. It will live forever in infamy. And
Parker, get a hoodie out to this guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
He just kind of stared at me and wagged his tail. I think that means yes. I'm sure it's on its way. Don't worry, Steve. I'm sure it's coming. Any day now.
And don't call me Chief.
All righty. Well, we are in Legion 89, number 8.
Yes. So, that's right. I'm doing this one today.
You bet. Yeah.
So, of course, what happened last week? Everything went well for everyone, right?
Oh yeah, it was great. Yeah. Drill Doc had a wonderful day.
There was love.
It was a bad day
air.
For him, was it not? Yeah. And
Stealth is perfectly normal. Everything's normal with Stealth, just so you know.
Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
Carry on. Keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're carrying every bit of Drox to the, carrying the arm there, carrying his leg there.
And well, yeah. Lobo had fun, though.
Yeah.
Totally.
Lots of baby Lobos.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And speaking of babies, that worked out for this issue. That's the topic.
Oh, yes.
That's one of the things in this, that's one of the things in this issue, actually. But yeah, let's get to that. So, Legion 89, number 8, we of course have a Kevin Maguire and Al Gordon cover of Larissa crying as she's walking away from some kind of large dragon creature fighting Lobo.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, she looks very upset, but then it's kind of comedic with, like, the fight in the background.
Yeah.
It's like you're not sure what it's supposed to be. Is this funny or sad? Or both?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like distressed.
Yeah, it's it seems a little over the top, does it not?
Yeah, like she's either like really worried that that beastie is going to get a bad case of indigestion, or
because I don't imagine that she's completely concerned about Lobo. So
no, she's like, oh, that poor dragon thing. He's going to get one bellyache.
It almost looks kind of makes me think of like one of the old romance cover comics.
Oh yes.
Oh good. Yeah.
Like she's or you know, the Supergirl, you know, like I can't find a boyfriend from like one of those adventure covers from the '70s.
Yes. Yeah, this
is happening in the background and she's not even noticing.
Yeah, this cover is crying out for a word balloon. Who do I choose? Sigh, yeah. Choke.
I was gonna say there needs to be a choke here somewhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, we go to our story. Don't Look Back. Keith Giffen, plot and breakdowns. Alan Grant, script. Barry Kitson, penciler. Mark McKenna, inker. Laverne Kandinsky, colorist. Gaspar is our letterer. Art Young is the editor. And it's a nice splash page of Larissa Mallor, and she's asking, any signs of improvement? And she's talking to the Durlin. And we can see that in some kind of, like, looks like stasis tubes or some kind of prison tubes, we have Stealth basically kneeling down, looking like she's kind of, you know, in a fetal position. And he's saying, the Durlin's saying, not a lot, I'm afraid, Larissa. Stealth's exactly the same as she was when you found her, in deep shock, virtually catatonic. As for Lobo, he's getting more manic by the hour, and Lobo, of course, is Lobo, so he is banging and screaming and kicking and yelling in his tube. Where is he? Where's that bastard, Dox? Let me out of here, you frag-face creeps, you hear me? I'll rip the whole stinking place to shreds. Vril Dox is gonna die! So he's
a little late to the party there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is exactly what Larissa and the Durlin are talking about. His threats come a little late. Have you taken bioscans? Of course, but they haven't proven much use. Stealth reading is totally incomprehensible. Whatever kind of creature she really is, she's the first of her kind my race has ever encountered. She just sits there in a daze, as if she's unable to come to terms with what she did. And we get a little close-up in Stealth, and it's still kind of looking a little creepy, like Stealth looked last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lobo? Cellular damage. Basically, in his case, that makes him more like us. I'll kill him! I'll murder him! I'll rip his guts out and make him watch! Well, in some ways. I'm not quite sure what Dox did to him, but his ability to grow new cells from his own body is now gone, and he obviously isn't very happy about it. And she's ready to walk away, saying, keep me informed. Of course, anything happens, you'll be the first to know. So I guess that's why that Doxon wanted to have a toast with Lobo.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yes.
That's a little out of character for him.
Yeah.
But
so does that change stick with Lobo, the not being able to regenerate? I did not follow any of his miniseries, so
I only read like the first two when they came out. But as far as I know, I believe that stays for at least a while. I mean, maybe forever.
That he can't do it?
He can't do it.
Yeah, I don't remember now. Again, my reading of Lobo was limited and was also 25 years ago. Or you know, nearly 30 years ago. So I'll admit to I remember seeing it here, and perhaps it's the only place that I did see it. But yeah.
The only time I remember, now I could be wrong, but the only time I remember ever coming up is here and in those JLI issues that came up before this. That's the only time anyone ever expressed any concern about that. Afterwards, it seemed to not ever come up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with it's gone forever. Or at least until I read the issue where it happens again.
Yeah. Until Giffen finds a way to use it to kill Sun Boy or Karate Kid.
Yes. I mean, well, it's a DC comic. Of course, it's not nothing here is going to be ever retconned.
Yeah. Ever. No, yeah, never. Never. Never, never.
Wait, does anyone else hear a ticking clock? Anyway, so we then go to what looks like I'm assuming is a flashback because we got the rounded panels.
Yes, because that was once a convention of comics, yeah.
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 And it works. Because I saw them like, oh, flashback.
Exactly.
And we're back to Larissa, and it's in the room from the end of the last issue where Doc put everyone when he drugged them and knocked them out. And we see Larissa waking up, and she has the caption box thing going on, like it's Dark Knight Returns. I was dreaming of darkness, of cool, comforting shadows, where there isn't any pain, where the babies never cry, where the heroes only do what's right. And she wakes up, and she's blood's everywhere, all over her sheets, all over the walls. And there's Stealth again in that fetal position, blood all over her. By the holy ancestors, Stealth! Stealth? Stealth? What is it? What happened to you? Are you hurt? Oh my god, Docs! And we see Viril Docs laying there with his eyes wide open. So I'm pretty sure he's DED.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I think so.
Where the heroes only do what's right. And off panel we see someone saying, Larissa! Larissa! And back to the present. Strata is there. Yo, Larissa, you all right? What? Oh, it's you, Strata. Forgive me. I was thinking. How is it progressing? Our project, I mean. So far, so good. She's got a long way to go, but I won't be surprised if she manages to pull it off. I hope so, for all our sakes. If it should leak out that it was one of us who killed Viril Docs, I'd rather not consider that eventuality. Still, she's the best. If anyone can do it, she can. And Strata, apparently now all of the rock is gone, and Strata's completely all crystal.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Seems Dox's body was fresh enough for her to salvage what she needed. And if her gene splicing is all we've been told it is, who's watching her? Garen, is that wise? Her idea, in fact, she insisted, seems they have some unfinished business. Of all people, the best genetic engineer in Karen has to be Garen Beck's wife. So, because that's right, he was married to, what's his name, Candace Biz's daughter.
That's mm-hmm. right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of funny that, of course, the biggest drug dealer actually has a daughter who actually does something, as opposed to, you know, just a socialite type daughter.
Yeah.
I better look in on them. Coming? Maybe later. I need some time to myself. I have to meditate, mentally adjust. I haven't really had time to deal with my gendering yet. Your what? The dryad equivalent of puberty. We lose our juvenile skin and finally find out what sex we're going to be. And? It's not at all like I thought. It's not at all like I thought. Guess I'm closest to what you call a female. Oh, congratulations! I'm a girl! So we find out Strata is a girl.
Yes. And yeah.
I wonder. I mean, I guess was Block? I guess Block was maybe too young for this. Did this happen to Block over in the actual Legion of Superhero series? Like maybe this would have happened eventually. Him, you know, whether he male or you know or the equivalent of male or female there. Since
it's an interesting point because they don't really they never really get into that with Block. Although I think we see. Strata when he dies.
Yes. And they do in the very end of the Baxter run, they kind of play with Block's body going through some kind of change.
That's right, where he was kind of developing different
little smokestacks on his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's the closest we get to them exploring Block's puberty.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, that obviously different creative team, you know, different writer. And then by the time the next volume started, Block was out in three issues, so
yeah, he didn't last long enough for there to be any changes.
no. Sadly. But it's a neat like this whole idea that that they have to wait until they're a teenager to find out what gender they're going to be is
it's just very such a interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool idea. It's like, all right, just be the, you know, I guess they can just treat them as, you know, the dryad kids until they find out. It really doesn't matter which one they are.
Yeah, and we it's interesting because I think I might have slipped one time as we were going through and referred to Strata as she. And I kind of caught myself because it's like, oh yeah, no, that hasn't been revealed yet. Mm-hmm. But because we've had 8 issues of Strata where we've assumed Strata was male. And so to have that change, and it's like, but you know, for so many years, Strata was female. Yeah. So, I was so used to that, that it felt normal to refer to Strata as a female.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a weird thing with like comics. It's kind of somehow become like almost a given. Giant rocky creatures are usually male.
Yeah. Because they all talk like Ben Grimm.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Which is kind of funny because it's not like those things are real, nor do we have a extensive thing of giant rock creatures in most of literature or stories
totally.
We just assume they're male. It's almost like Ben Grimm just, I guess, well, I mean, to be fair, he was popular enough a character that I guess kind of just became the default.
Yeah, an archetype. Yeah, for sure.
He became the archetype. So therefore, you have a giant rocky creature. Well, it's like Ben Grimm, right? It's got to talk like him. It's got, you know, sound like he's in Brooklyn. Have a cigar.
Well, and even when you get like a female monster type, like a She-Hulk, she was far more she than she was Hulk. Hulk got to be big and monstery, and she got to be big and busty and beautiful, and also green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the exception seems to have been what's her name, the second Ms. Marvel, Sharon Ventura, the She thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because she actually looked like the Thing.
Ugh. Yes.
She was gross.
I until you mentioned it, I had completely forgotten that.
I had forgotten her too, and I don't mean gross in that she was unattractive. I just mean gross in that she was such a bad character.
I really didn't read too much Fantastic Four of that time. I mainly know her from the Countdown issues of the Hulk, where he was poisoned.
Oh, yeah.
And I mainly just remember because the Hulk grabs her by her mouth and is like, hey, look, that's your uvula, and then tosses her. That's what I remember her seeing down her throat.
Babs is uvula.
They use that to advantage. Then they play with that with the first several issues, and then surprise, not a boy.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, and they never, I don't think they ever
said anything.
No, like they always refer to the character as Strata. And I don't think they ever, I don't even think any of the other characters say he or him.
I don't recall any pronoun use. You're right.
Yeah, like not even it. It's always just Strata or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, playing the long game.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
Anyway, so back in the issue, we are back to another flashback of Larissa's. It says another time, another place, and she's in what looks like a hospital bed with a couple other people who are also blue. So we can kind of assume, plus based on the guy's about to say, that they're back on her home planet of Talak 8.
That would be a good assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another time, another place, other dreams shatter. And one of the guys is telling her, Talak 8 has no desire to be absorbed by the Alliance. What our government proposes would be a tremendous gesture of goodwill, and we're sure it would be acceptable to them. It worked for Ran, after all. They handed over Adam Strange, their champion, and the Alliance left them alone completely. And she's saying, so, looking kind of pissed, so you want me to play scapegoat? Husband, what are your feelings in the matter? And she's talking to the other guy, and he's really looking down. They are definitely using the body language here. He is looking down. He's avoiding her. He is looking just tell by looking, you can tell he is making himself say this, and like he is feeling very low and ashamed of what he's doing, because what he's doing is very low and shameful.
Yeah. It all works.
it has to be for the best, Larissa. There's a lot more at stake than just, I know exactly what is at stake. Thank you. Yes, of course.
And he's just thinking, he's got the maid at home. He's ready to have a little fling with her, and it would be awkward if Larissa were still around.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, unless he's going to create Wonder Woman, then, you know, then I guess it works out.
Totally.
But, and now Larissa is being brought back to reality by the whining of Garen Beck. Hear me, Larissa? I said I can't stand it any longer. Sorry, Garen. What? You have to put someone else in there with her. She's driving me grok, bock, and crazy. Garen, you know, yeah, I love their cursing. It's so great a way to put it in there without it actually being any bad words.
Yeah, totally.
Garen, you know she said she'd only cooperate if you help her out. Yeah, well, I don't care. I just can't stand anymore. It's too much to ask of any man. Damn it, Beck. It's not my fault the computer selected your wife as the only person who can help us. We need Virtual Docs alive. God help us. Now, unless you would rather inform Karen's adoring masses that their great lawbringer, Docs, was murdered by one of our group, you get back in there and help Rotunda. And while you're at it, try growing up. Whatever you say, Larissa. And she storms off with shadows flying all around her face. That's the only downside. That's the only thing is, like, especially now, like the Rotunda joke kind of, you know, but, you know, once we see, you know, his wife, that's a little cruelish here, especially since, because it's written in, thank you.
Yeah.
There, I could remember the word. It's not like he's been calling her that, and therefore she's just using his, you know, his name for her.
No, it seems out of character for Larissa to be calling.
Exactly.
Anyone?
Yes.
Anything like that?
Yeah, Lobo for sure. Stealth maybe.
Because I mean, yes, like I made the joke the other episode about her being like Monica Rambeau in from Next Wave. But I mean, really, yes, with what she was as the planetary champion, how like proper she is and the way she
is.
Like, if they have it, whenever I'm expecting whenever they have that crossover of Superman, for her to get along very well with Superman. Like, she is a kind of in that mold. Like, I am the planetary champion. I am here to do, you know, I'm here because it's right to do. And that's why I'm going to do these things. Not because I'm paid or because I have trauma, because this is right. So it'd be like him saying that. It's like, you know, like unless like the only name he knows for them is what someone else has been calling them. It doesn't fit for, it's a little weird for Larissa. But otherwise, that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now she's outside by herself thinking, why me? It isn't fair. Strata, Beck, the Derlin, they're all leaning on me. Just because I'm the most experienced, most used to dealing with responsibility. We cannot afford to stall much longer. Karen's top police officials are clamoring to see their new hero, Docs. And he's... God, what a mess this has all turned into. And the Derlin's out there now behind her. Larissa? Stealth snapped out of it. She seems more or less normal again. Another problem. Just what I need. And now we are back to Talloc 8, but this time in the present, because it's sharp edges, not rounded. So watch the kids. Watch the small children around the corner boxes here. And you say you scan Talloc's computer records, Mr. Just call me Star. Of course, Mr. Star, and your analysis of what you found brought you to me? And we're getting from outside the planet, now getting closer to a building, and now we see one of the male members of the Talloc race. I suppose I should be flattered. In fact, I am flattered. What I am not, however, is sure of your motives. Many of our people think it was wrong to give up our champion to the Alliance. There are calls from all quarters for government reform, and as someone in the forefront of the reform movement, well, I have to be careful. Exactly why I came to you, Counselor Dahl. I represent Larissa Maller, who is as yet unable to return in person. And we see it's our old buddy Pulsar Stargrave. Mm-hmm. She spoke well of you, requested that I offer you our assistance. I do so now. but not blindly, for what I've learned from Talek's computers shows just why Larissa admires you so much. And the guy's like, our champion admires me? Well, with my assistance, you can achieve all of your goals. I have certain abilities which I can offer. Working together for the greater good of Talek, we can create a new era. A new era. Yes, I like that. It should be our slogan, perhaps. A new government, a new ideal, a new era. Those are what Talek is crying out for. And if Larissa Mallow return, that is exactly what I'd be in a position to give. Then it is settled. You accept my offer? With pleasure and anticipation, Mr. Starr. Excellent. Then let our new era begin. And I don't think the new era is going to work out as well for Talek as this guy thinks it will.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a hunch.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess, I mean, do they not know the Alliance broke up or was defeated? Like, are they think she's still a prisoner there? Like,
well, that's the thing. Because they left straight from there, did they not?
Yeah, they escaped the prison.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they haven't reported back, you know? Oh, and...
But I mean, like, the planets, like, it's one thing for the team to not know. They went from straight to Kolu and got blasted and, you know, took over.
Right. Yes, yes. But I see what you're saying, yeah.
What about, like, the... Oh, like, does Rand know that, like, hey, Adam Strange can come back? You know, that thing's gone now. It's fine for Adam Strange to come back? Like, or do they still... Is Adam going to show up back at home? And they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We sent you there for a reason. Are they going to attack us now?
Yeah, I'm assuming... I mean, I don't know. I don't know how news gets passed around in the space quadrants there, but yeah. I'm assuming that they... are aware that the invasion is over and that they didn't win or that Earth won. I mean, I don't know. I guess for different planets and different people, it takes longer for them to get back home, or maybe she's, I don't know. Yeah.
It's entirely possible. They might, excuse me. It's entirely possible. They might not know. It might be far enough away that they just saw a giant battle
for sure. You know? Talek's just kind of one of those backwater.
Out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it still seemed to be kind of that way even in the 30th century.
Yes.
Anyway, so now we're back to Garen Beck and his ex-wife as they are working in the medical lab. I'm tightening it! Don't you dare raise your voice to me, you miserable worm. And basically, she's... I mean, the best way to put this is she is white, just a little bit larger Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You do well to remember, Garen, that the welfare of you and your strange friends depends on me regrowing your precious real docs. So be nice to me, why don't you? Nice? Oh, Grock. He's doing very well, too. Colon genetic structure lends itself to this process. I heard about his little experiment with Lobo. I look forward to meeting him when he's in one piece again. His grasp of genetics must be highly advanced. And Garen's there tightening what he was tightening even more. Yeah, Doc's grasp of everything is quite advanced. Except personal freedom. Okay, that's it. All done. This Doc's must mean a lot to you and your team. Don't play Okay, wait, hold on. Before I get to this, how do we pronounce this name? Because it's... M-A-R-I-J apostrophe N, because she's an alien, so therefore there must be an apostrophe somewhere.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's still Mary Jane.
I always, in my head, was always like Merigin or something. I never even thought about that. You're right, Mary Jane.
It's that silly, right? Like the idea of the apostrophe. I mean, it's probably more like something like Mary Jane.
But consider Dr. Dad, which is called Canis Biz. Yeah, it kind of actually makes sense.
Right?
Mary
like,
Jane.
They're making jokes about these names is not out of their realm.
Yeah, of course Kenneth Biz has Mary Jane.
Of course. Wow.
That okay, you convinced me, cuz in my head I was always thinking like Marigin, like
yeah.
Carolyn, yeah. Marigin. But you're right, Canis Biz, Mary Jane, 100%. 100%, it's Mary Jane.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I was today years old when I realized that.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's good. I was today years old when I realized Mary Jane was even a possibility for that name to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I figured Ken is biz, Ken, like that one I got, but
yeah,
Mary Jane, I did not.
It makes total sense. Yeah. Oh, crazy.
Totally. And that's totally like Giffen. Like that's.
Oh, without a doubt. And Grant's no stranger to the parody of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that, but yeah, that's fantastic. Oh man. See, that's the two of them, those two mad geniuses together.
It's nice. Entertaining. Don't play coy with me, Mary Jane. You know damn well we only want him back again to avoid disaster. Catch you later, if I'm unlucky. Not so fast, dear. This is the little matter of daddy. It was your docs who killed him, you know. Who will take care of me now? So Beck is in his own personal hell.
Yeah.
And everyone's fine with that.
Totally.
And so we move on to the Derlin, Stealth, and Larissa. And Larissa and the Derlin are questioning Stealth. Look, Derlin, we've been over this and over this. I don't remember anything about it. And in the background, we have Lobo. Let me out, rip your spleen, kill, kill, kill. He's still banging on the wall, threatening to kill anybody who is stupid enough to let him out.
Yeah. That would be foolhardy, for sure.
Yeah, like, yeah 100%.
No, you're going to do exactly what you say you're going to do. So, no. I'm not denying that I did it. I just don't remember doing it. But I can guarantee it'll never happen again. And Lurs is asking, oh, yes? And exactly what makes you so sure of that, Stealth? I don't know. I just am. And the Derlins there say, actually, your bioscan would seem to back up that assertion. I think. It shows an organ of some kind, now burned out and totally useless. It seems your behavior might be a trait of your species, much like shapeshifting in Derlins. Though, as I said, I can't be sure. I like that. He's like, I think she's right, but, you know, until I'm wrong. But that's sound great. Right. Then make sure, Derlin, run every test you can think of. Stealth's like, hey, listen. No, you listen, Stealth, because Larissa's getting bossy. You're not bossy. Yes. Larissa's getting in charge, more like it. We can't punish you for something that might be natural to your kind, but we do want to ensure it never happens again. And, of course, Stealth and the Derlin are thrilled to be together. Wrong. One wrong move, Calface. Don't worry, you're not my type. And Larissa walks off. She's thinking, so what next? Where in the name of the ancestors do we go from here? Everything just seems to be getting crazier. It's all starting to spin like some lunatic kaleidoscope. Perhaps a little rest will put a fresh perspective on it. And she walks in to see Strata. Just in time, Larissa. You should see this. And Strata is watching, well, I guess, TV. And on the TV, we can hear the news people saying, Drug lords attacked. They were met by an army of Lobos. Though heavily outnumbered, the clone-like beings fought like demons, sweeping over everything. Until in a final orgy of destruction, they wiped themselves out along with the surviving attackers. Freeing Karen from their age-old tyranny. Vril Dox, leader of the glorious campaign and hero of the hour, is currently keeping a low profile at Zalman City Police Headquarters. Meanwhile, the planet has rallied around his banner, and we can see on the screen now the what we know to be the Legion image, which is like, what, a fist grabbing with light in the middle?
Guess that is light, yeah. It reminds me of, like, the glaive from Krull.
Oh, no, what it is? It's like Logan from Logan's Run is grabbing the glaive and his hand is glowing.
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
There's some deep sci-fi nerdery added to it.
Uh-huh.
Police envoys from all major cities are now converging on Zalman, demanding an audience of Docs, while the team's core members are believed to be recuperating and planning their future strategy in seclusion. The whole world awaits word from them. And Larissa's in shock, saying, they love him. Sure they do. Why not? Leave his personality out of it. focus on his ambition, his dream. It was a good dream, Larissa. And Doc's has shown that it works. This team can make a difference. I can't walk away from that. Only thing is, with Doc's indisposed, we need someone to fill the gap. I like that. He's busy.
Yeah. He's busy being dead.
He's busy being an ex-Docs. I guess they could always just, you know, nail his feet to the ground and, you know, stand him up there, prop him up.
Yeah.
Pining for the fjords.
Oh, wait. Wrong show.
Yeah, I know, but I was actually about the point. I think Les was listening to it earlier today, so that's what's in my head. And so Lurs is looking down saying, "You mean us. I'm sorry. You mean me." And Stratos telling her, "Yeah, you're the most experienced of us all, Larissa. You can command respect. But the choice is yours. Heck, it would only be temporary. I must think. There's so much in my past. The past's dead, Larissa. The future is now. Think fast." Ooh, she said the tagline. The future is now.
They're going to put that on a poster.
And we are back to the, I guess you could say, the prison room. And Lobo is broken out of his tube and is fighting the Derlin, who is in basically major Cthulhu-type monster mode. "You're dead, you Derlin freak. I'll pound you into mincemeat. Just stay still, damn you." And the Derlin changes to some kind of bird. "Stay still." And then that's it. That is it. "I'll tear you up and feed you to yourself, yeah." And the Derlin is turned to some kind of large creature. Hits Lobo in the back, and then turns almost like a Tyrannosaurus Rex and whams him with the tail. Temper, temper. And Lobo is down. And Stealth is shocked. What happened? How did you..." "He's still not fully recovered, fortunately. He'd have destroyed me otherwise. He's stronger than I thought. I still can't believe you took him out. I mean, Strata, Larissa, and I hardly ever even slowed him down. Different circumstances. When his other cells were destroyed, it unhinged him. He went crazy." "You mean he was sane before?" Very droll. And Lobo's there muttering, "Neutered me like a pet. Damn you, Docs. Damn you to hell forever." What's he mumbling about? Who can tell? "Come on, give me a hand to get him restrained before he comes to. Then it's back to your exam." So, okay, I can't remember fully if things that happened afterwards, but... I mean, obviously, Lobo, like we said, Lobo before here, up until now, was kind of... It still was Lobo, but it was a different Lobo than the Lobo we know later on.
You know,
he's not the main man, so to speak. I wonder if this is it's actually going to be an in-story thing, not just a change in style where they make him like that. I wonder if this actually is part of the story, that he goes, quote-unquote, crazy.
Yeah, could be.
Because that'll be interesting.
Hmm.
And we're back to Larissa's memories as the Kuns are escorting her to their ship while all the people on her planet watch, and she's caption boxing. "They took me and spared my world. I didn't know whether to rejoice or weep. Talak 8 was safe, but her champion was bound for an Alliance Starlag. My people would miss me, but they would get by. That made me happy. My husband would live. That made me happy. And my baby would thrive and grow and one day take my place. And she'd never know her mother." And she's crying, saying, "Oh, Lydia."
Lydia, oh, Lydia.
Have you met Lydia?
Here she's got some tattoos.
Oh, man. You know, it's so funny you say that, because, of course, this makes me think of, obviously you're going for the Fisher King. And literally Jam was doing a crossword just before we started, and she was like, "Actress Plummer," and it's like, "Amanda Plummer." And there you go, full circle.
There you go.
Weird.
I was actually going for a Muppets album I had when I was a kid.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
That's where I know the song from. I think it's Kermit that sings it.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Good. Anyway, and so Larissa's now in current time, saying Lydia, and she's crying quietly to herself. Not like on the cover. It's not big and sobby. It's very private. And then you see off panel Larissa, and it's Strata. Larissa, are you all right? I'm fine. I hate to be a pest, but the natives are getting restless. We can't stall them any longer. Have you? Yes, Strata. I've decided. And now we're in some kind of big amphitheater, and if we can see all the people are there. It's filled to capacity. So at least more than 20,000 people. And there is a podium with the Legion logo on it, as well as behind it, you know, big image of the Legion logo. And we see some of the people we've seen before, the Sarge and his younger partner.
Yes.
What could be keeping him, Sarge? I don't know, but it's about time we had some idea what's going down here. Looks like you're not the only one with that opinion, and we see a couple other people. I'm getting fed up. This is ridiculous. How long are we supposed to wait? Hey, here he comes. Eh? And we have Larissa and Strata wearing now Legion uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Larissa's thinking, Strata was right. The past is dead. The future is now. Ladies and gentlemen, law enforcement officers of Cairn, as official spokesperson for our new organization. Exactly. And Strata's thinking. And Strata's thinking, better duck, Strata. This is where it hits the fan. And next month, Phantoms.
Go. Phantoms, what could that be?
I don't know.
Yes.
Wow.
I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that the, you know, again, we're sort of, I mean, we just didn't have the kind of information that we get now about stuff. So that as this was unfolding, like, where are we at on, so this is, this was September of 89.
Yeah, so this is the first month without a Legion book. So Legion ended.
So it's still another three,
Magic
three
Wars
issues.
Ended. Well, sort of. Magic Wars ended last month.
Okay.
And then when I was looking at the publishing dates and stuff, it looks like there's a month between this issue that we're reading, 8, and next issue, number 9. So next issue is coming out the same month as Legion number 1. So even though there was like a 3-month gap, I think, between Legion 63 and Legion number 1.
Yeah.
There's only like a 1-month gap here.
Okay, so when
I don't know if I don't know if Legion 89 had a skip month or they were just behind schedule or whatever, but
yeah.
Legion 89 number 8 comes out at the beginning of August and number 9 comes out at the middle to end of September. So there's a good like 6 weeks in between there.
Right.
Six.
So
yeah.
So then but so where do we first?
So
I guess Legion, that's more of a thing for next week, but
Legion 1 comes out and then 2 weeks later Legion 89 number 9 comes out.
Okay. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's stuff that we won't have learned anyway at that stage.
Yes. Yeah.
So we find out about it first in this book.
Yes.
Interesting. That's very interesting. So, wow. That's unexpected. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you know, a lot of that sort of that little bit of cross pollination, is not that far from us. And,
not at all.
Yeah. Very interesting. Like, I read this stuff, you know, I think we were, possibly about a year into it. And so I didn't read them as they came out. I read them, picked up a bunch of issues and, probably a few months into, because I remember thinking, Strata, where have I heard that name before? Oh, yeah, when Block died. So I came to that stuff backwards, but not that far. You know, we weren't that far along before I was kind of caught up with that.
Yeah, for, yeah. I kind of wish I would have been able to read these as they came out, because it would have been interesting to see how I would have looked at it if I'm reading both these books as they're coming out at the same time and seeing whatever connections you can see, especially in the early issues, where there are definitely much more, there are a lot more connections as they're setting it up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But since I didn't start reading the Legion Superheroes until 21 of this current run, I was like 2 years away from even touching it. And I don't think I read Legion, bought any issues of L-E-G-I-O-N until like 50.
Oh, wow. So I was the only one reading them both as they came out.
Yeah.
Well, remember, like I said, the first DC book I actually bought, like to buy regularly, was that Batman, The End of Lonely Place of Dying, which comes out towards the end of 89. Or like after the movie came out.
There's an ad for it in here. It's just starting, I think, A Lonely Place of Dying.
Yeah, so, and like most things when you buy comics and you start going from one to the other, it's all about the connections of things. So I did the Batman, and then was doing Detective because there was that stuff. And then I saw the ad for the Crisis of the Crimson Kryptonite and Superman, and I read those. Yes. And I think it probably was Time and Time Again that led me to actually looking at the Legion, one of the things that led me to looking at the Legion book.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
By that point, though, there really wasn't, even if I knew about connections, there really weren't connections shown in the Legion book to L-E-G-I-O-N yet. That's more like in the first year, I think.
For the most part, right. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, hey, so this came out September of 89. Couple of other things that were going on at the time. Michael Moore's first movie, Roger and Me, debuted at the Telluride Film Festival.
Ooh.
I remember watching that for a university course a couple of years later. And so, yeah, that's a long time ago. Let's see.
Wow.
Joan Rivers got her daytime talk show, The Joan Rivers Show.
Oh, wow.
Living Color won big at the MTV Video Music Awards in September 6.
Living Color. I love that show back then.
No, not the show, the band.
Oh!
Yeah. This was a couple of years before the show.
Oh, okay.
Let's see here. What else? Desmond Tutu led the biggest anti-apartheid protest march in South Africa. Let's see here. Roger and Me also on September 16th won the People's Choice Award at the Toronto International Film Festival. The big wins at the Emmys that year were L.A. Law, Cheers, Dana Delaney, and Candice Bergen.
Dana Delaney
for... It would be for China Beach,
I bet. Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm guessing Candice was Murphy Brown?
Murphy Brown, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotta be. Let's see here. Doogie Howser debuted on ABC. Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation it was released. That's her fourth album. Miss Saigon premiered in London. Let's see. Baywatch debuted on NBC.
Wow.
Let me just see if I can pick up a couple more here. And Hell Started to Freeze Over as Glenn Frey and Don Henley played together on stage for the first time since 1981. And in a thing that would play out much bigger in a couple of years, the Toronto Blue Jays won the American League East title. And this was still a few years, is still a couple of years before. Nolan Ryan had his perfect game broken in the eighth, but got his 300th strikeout. He played the sports balls. He played the sports balls.
Sports ball stuff.
So that's sports ball stuff, yeah. It doesn't sort, and all right, I got to have one more. I can't end on a sports ball thing. let's see here. The U.S. performed a nuclear test at the Nevada test site. And
boom.
Give me something that isn't sports or you know war. Yeah, no, that's pretty much all I got.
Nope.
Jerry Lewis's 24th muscular dystrophy telethon raised $42,737, $219. And of course, that was also the number of Strata's license plates. So there you go. Brings it all back. Anything goes. Closed at the Beaumont Theater in New York City after 804 performances. La la la. Anyway, just to again put it in context as to the time. So there we have
it. Wowee. Excellent.
Oh.
Well, that brings us to the end.
Oh, and actually, real quick, we have a moment. I actually have some feedback.
Oh, yes. That doesn't bring us to the end.
Okay. Be quick. But I've been putting the episodes up on Twitter.
Excellent.
And we've actually been getting a bit of retweets and likes and some comments. So
cool.
Real quick. So I started putting them up as I was on there. So as of episode 3, we had several people liking it. And Hicks, who is one of the co-hosts of the Waiting for Doom podcast, said it was his favorite. Said it is my favorite Legion related run.
Ah.
Let's see where they are. I gotta scroll a bit. Issue 4, episode 4. I don't know. They had like 13 people liking it though, so that's good.
Yeah.
But no comments on that one. But I have comments on the others. Let's see where we go. Okay, here we go. So for episode 6. Which is the cover of Lobo and Docs, the demonic duo.
Yeah.
I actually got schooled by Travis Ellisor about where to find better images.
That guy's trouble.
He gets schooled about where to find better quality images by using Comixology. And I also had a couple people joking about that cover, because that, like I said, that's the one with Docs and Lobo with Lobo jumping out of you and Docs standing there in like 80s movie tough guy cop pose.
Oh, totally. Yes.
As someone asked me, Joshua Wheel said, "That's Michael Morbius. Why are you lying?"
That's totally yeah. A Morbius look.
And we also got a comment from Sean, who is one of the hosts of the Secret Wars and Beyond podcast. He is loving the show.
Cool. That's awesome. Thank you, Sean.
And I think there was one more episode we had out since, if I can actually not hit the wrong buttons and move my Twitter around. And okay, here we go. So the last episode, episode 7. So there's a little conversation actually happened between the Twitter handle Heroes Punching 2099 and Sean. And Heroes Punching said, "The term underrated gets used an awful lot, but it really fits for this series. The Giffen Grant team were like the older brother to the Giffen DeMatteis team."
Oh, that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and Sean replied saying, "It was such a good series. It's the only time I've ever enjoyed Lobo."
100%.
Yeah, I can't say I'm far off that. Yeah.
So that's what we have, so since that's up to the most recent episode that's out right now.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Very cool. And of course, we now know what the acronym means, thanks to Steve Mahundro.
That's so awesome.
Huzzah. That's bizarre. And in a couple of weeks he'll find out about that.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
All right, if you do want to reach out and give us your feedback, of course you can follow us on the Twitters at various places. My handle's at ToonGeek, TuneGeek. Al, what's yours?
At Adam Thanos Pod.
I don't think I'm on the Twitters.
All right, then.
I think I was, but I don't think I am.
Yeah.
If I am, I clearly haven't been using it, so...
Fair enough.
So whoever you're talking to, that's not Murray.
That's
there
great.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can also tweet us at the LOSP podcast Twitter. You can send feedback to us by email at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. And for that, you can also head over to the website. Legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and there's actually, if you hit the LEGION tag cloud, it'll show you all of these episodes, and you can comment on them there.
Cool.
So there we go.
Alrighty then, we are done.